They say that if you stop learning, you stop growing. As those invited into a relationship with God, we should never stop growing, never become stagnant. Instead, we want to become whole life learners, learning in our whole lives and for our whole life. Welcome to the GBC Sermon Podcast, a weekly podcast from Gymea Baptist Church in Sydney, Australia. I'm Mark Rader, Senior Pastor here at GBC, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will minister to you as you listen to this message today. This week, we return to our values series, the crux of community, and the values that we hope will shape us as a community of faith. Today's value is whole life learning, being committed to curiosity and humility in every area of life.
Tonight's Bible reading is from Proverbs 1 to 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance, for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise.
So we are looking at these values, these behaviors that we want to be true of who we are as a community of faith. When we start thinking about what it means for us to be followers of Jesus here at Gymea Baptist Church, there's kind of a handful of things that we think are perhaps most significant for us. And what we value drives our behaviors. And so we're talking about our values, but we're also at the same time sort of talking about the behaviors that we hope to see here as well. And when we've talked about them, we've talked about being on purpose, which is the creating and maintaining margin in our lives or space in our lives to say yes to what God's doing. Whether that be relational space or time in our calendars, or whether it be space in our finances and our resources. When we talked about being big-hearted, it was about being generous in every single aspect of our lives. And once again, it's not just about financial generosity, but it's about being relationally generous with those around us, again, to participate with what God is doing. And neither of those ideas, I think, are particularly mind-blowing or particularly original to us, but they kind of frame up our language of what it means for us to follow after Jesus here. And that's kind of what these are on about. And we're looking tonight at being a whole life learner. And we've defined that as being committed to humility and curiosity in every single area of life. And that's not just about, you know, becoming a better school teacher or a better manager or a better husband or a wife or whatever kind of role you find yourself in, whatever thing you're doing, being a student or whatever it is. It's not just about becoming better and learning, but it's actually about our discipleship. And there's kind of two components of that, I think, that are helpful for us to be aware of. On the one hand, we serve a great God, don't we? We serve a God who is not just great in the things that he does, but great in magnitude and scope. So there is an awful lot of God for us to engage with and interact with. And let me put this out there. I'm sure you all believe this, but let me just state it. We will never get to the point in time where we will say we understand everything there is to understand about God, right? We will never get to the point where we will be able to say, well, you know, I've experienced absolutely everything that God can offer, and it was great, but like I've maxed out. Right, that's not going to be our response. And so if we have been invited into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, then that surely invites us to always, always, always be leaning into who he is, to experience him in his fullness, as the Apostle Paul prays and all sorts of places in Scripture refer to. And at the same time, we also need to be aware that when we are invited to participate in what God is doing in the world, that invitation, his plans and purposes, will change and shift depending on what's happening in our culture. Let me put it really, really simply. We do not share the gospel in the same way that they did in the fourth century AD. We just don't. And there are reasons for that. because our culture is asking different questions. We live in a different period of time. The anxieties and fears and the needs that people have and how they express them are expressed differently. And so we always need to be thinking about how God is moving and working in our culture and interacting with that. And because our culture is always changing, we need to always be learning, always be aware of the things that God is doing that's new. And with that kind of, shall we say, with that kind of thing on the line, like we've been invited to know God. We've been invited into a relationship with God himself. We've been invited to participate with his grand plan to restore the world. That should spur us on to become whole life learners, to take quite seriously the admonitions that were read at the beginning of the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is a book designed to help us think about what it means to be successful in life. And so the principles that are found within it are fairly significant for us. But it's not just about being successful at life. It's about being those who absolutely understand what it means to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And again, you may have heard me describe this before, but the fear of the Lord is not being scared of God, but it is of holding his word in such high regard and holding his words in such with such respect that you think twice before you do anything other than what he would suggest. So those of you who met Alan DeMond last week or have listened to the podcast, if you've seen him, Alan's a kind of a diminutive little Canadian fellow, one of the least intimidating people that I know. But I fear Alan. And I fear him in the sense that he has so much experience and so much wisdom that if I ask him about a situation that I'm facing in leadership and I say, listen, I can do A or I can do B, and he says, I think you should do A, I think twice before I do B, because I fear and hold his advice in such high regard and have such a high respect for him as an individual. That's the fear of the Lord, holding God's word in such high regard that we think twice before we would do anything other than what it is that he's calling us to. And if you and I have been invited into that relationship, I mean, that's the fear of the Lord, to know him, to hold him in such high respect in our lives that he ends up becoming the driving source for all that we do. And the rest of that opening, the first seven verses of Proverbs, kind of comes again and again at the importance of learning. And if you want to really understand the world, if you really want to understand what God is doing, then you need to take the posture of someone who wants to learn. And there's a couple of contrasts in it. You know, for instance, if you have a quick look, if you've still got your Bibles open to it, in verse 4 it says that the things that you're going to read in the rest of the book of Proverbs are good for giving prudence to those who are simple. In other words, helping those who are young, those who are still learning, to understand what it means to act appropriately, when to act and what to do. It goes at the end, it contrasts those who fear the Lord with those who are fools, who despise wisdom and instruction. And it also includes a reference to the wise. It says that the wise, those who understand the ways of God, are invited to add to their learning. In fact, if you go through the rest of the book of Proverbs, you'll find that one of the key characteristics of those who count themselves as wise is that they love instruction. They love correction. They love rebuke. Not because they like people being critical, but because learning is so important to them. Understanding the ways of God is so critical to them. So I don't think I need to kind of convince you that learning is a valuable exercise, particularly as followers of Jesus. But it does mean that we need to think a little bit more about what it looks like for us to do so. And the two words that we've chosen to kind of focus our attention on are wrapped around humility and curiosity. And I don't think that those don't sound too complicated in terms of why they're important for learning. And there's both kind of an individual importance and a corporate importance. So I think, you know, individually, it's really important that we maintain our curiosity. If I assume that there is absolutely nothing new for me to learn, I'm probably not going to learn anything new, even if it's out there, right? Curiosity is about asking questions. It's about engaging. It's about not being concerned with the outcome, just enjoying the learning process of being involved in something where you're always curious and asking questions. Humility functions the same way. If I can never admit that I don't know something, if I can never admit that there's an area where I need to grow, then I'm probably not going to, and that's detrimental. I think that there's a really interesting linkage between the wise, those who have great learning, those who understand God, and humility. So I think that humility ends up with a future orientation. It looks forward to all that there is yet to learn, all that stands before us, and recognizes that I don't know it all. Arrogance, on the other hand, looks backwards. Arrogance looks backwards and says, look at all the stuff I've learned. And those who understand the things of God, those who grow in particular areas of expertise, need to avoid arrogance by looking forward to all that there is to learn. And so there's an individual component that's quite important in that, and I'll come back to that. But there's also a really significant corporate component of it. I don't know if you've ever worked with other people who are curious, but it's kind of infectious, isn't it? If you've ever been around a really good teacher, for those of you who are still studying or can remember when you were still studying, the best teachers, the ones who made you curious about stuff. And their curiosity was often quite infectious. And I think the same thing works for humility. I'm a part of it. I'm not sure that there's an it to be a part of. You'll understand what I mean in a moment. But every May, I attend, it's a conference of sorts for Baptist pastors of larger Baptist churches across Australia. And it's held in various places around the country. And the first time that I went, I'd been a senior pastor for about 4.5 months. So like I knew absolutely everything. And I went to this gathering of very impressive men and women who are leading very impressive churches. Now, these are men and women who are deeply passionate about their relationship with God, who care deeply for the local church, who understand what it means to lead large organizations, who have thought through and experienced all sorts of scenarios and situations in church leadership. But there's a part for me that kind of goes, okay, so I'm in this gathering of people who are obviously going to be helpful for me, and I've just started, and so it's okay for me to say that I don't know everything yet. But it's also going to be a little bit embarrassing to admit how much I don't know, right? If they start asking me if there's anything that I do know, it's going to be a short conversation, right? And one of the things that was so helpful for me in that space was actually the humility in the room. Their response to questions gave me the courage to keep asking them. So when I would ask them, you know, how are you dealing with this situation, whatever it might be, in a staff context or keeping a church on vision, whatever it was, this is generally what I heard from these men and women who are very, very good at what they do. Generally speaking, they would say, well, I can tell you a bunch of things that you shouldn't do, right? In other words, I'll tell you the mistakes I've made. That's encouraging in and of itself to know that you can actually make mistakes and still actually be successful. But also they would say things like, we don't have all the answers, but this is what's worked for us. And that's a really humble answer. So what I was receiving was not, this is the way you must do it, this is definitive wisdom, or some sort of eye roll that goes, I can't believe you haven't figured this out. And their humility in the room then encouraged me to continue to ask questions, to begin to continue to say, listen, I don't know about this area either, or we've tried a few things and none of them has worked. Can you give me any advice on that? So our humility together, our curiosity together, can actually be really quite significant because it encourages humility and curiosity amongst all of us. But here's where trying to learn about Jesus and about his message and about his mission in a community of faith can get tricky. Because it's really easy, isn't it, to assume that everyone else here on a Sunday night has it all together. Now, if we did a poll, if I asked you all to close your eyes and ask, you know, if you have it all together, please put your hand in the air, I'm pretty sure we wouldn't have a lot of hands in the air. But on the surface, we look like we've got it together, don't we? I mean, you know, apart from the youth leaders who are kind of like, oh, my eyes are falling out of my head. You know, like, they don't have that part together. But everything else, like, I mean, they were away for the weekend. Very, very spiritual. Like, surely they have it all together, right? You know, and these are the sorts of things that can then inhibit us because I don't want to then admit or make some sort of comment or ask a question that might be perceived as being a stupid question or a question that I should probably know the answer to or whatever it might be. And so we need to find ways to be learning together as a community of faith. Now, here's, I think, something that's quite important for us. And this kind of leads directly to the application, the thing that I really want you to take away tonight. When we follow after Jesus, I think one of the things that can be, I'm not sure detrimental, and that's not the right word, but one of the things that can be a bit of a hindrance for us is how we learn about what it means to follow Jesus. And here's what I mean. If we were to take the time, and you were to take the time, and chat to the people around you, and ask them this question: how have you grown in your faith? Let's talk about how you've grown in your faith. Let's have a bit of a conversation about the ways in which you've grown in your faith. I can almost guarantee that you would find that there's probably 5 or 6 common things that have occurred in your life and the life of those around you that have contributed to your growth in faith. You ready for them? Here they are. See how many you can tick off. Don't say bingo and you get to 5. But here's the deal, right? So a lot of people would talk about their personal devotions. They would talk about reading something in the Word of God and really encountering Him in it, or in prayer, as Matt shared earlier, or in worship, or in some sort of combination thereof, of worship and prayer, when God's spoken to them and they've kind of taken something away and gone, that's been really significant to shape my understanding of who God is, to shape my experience of Him, right? So personal devotions, whatever you want to call them, that's one way that I think we would often say has shaped our faith. Then you've got things like great teaching. Whether you've gone to a youth camp or you've gone to a conference somewhere or you've read a great book or you've done a course or you've listened to a podcast or you've been a part of a cracking life group where the life group leader really kind of led the talks in really significant ways, you've been really impacted by that stuff. It's opened up for you a way to understand God or to think about your world or to think about your life in a way that's completely and utterly different. You'd also have those moments in time often related to serving. You know, when you decide to take a bit of a risk, you take a step in faith and you say, okay, God, you said that you can use me. You said that I can participate with you. I'm going to take a step of faith. I don't think I have what it takes. I don't know that I've got the gifts for this. I don't know that I've got the skills for this, but I'm going to step out anyways. And in those moments, we often find that God stretches us and grows us. We need to trust Him more because we're really aware of our inadequacies and our weaknesses. Then there are those critical relationships that we have. You know, that individual who mentored us, or that person who discipled us, or that peer, that friend of ours who always kind of brought us back to who God is and what it means to love and follow Him. That person or those people in our lives who have shaped our experiences. And then finally, the fifth would be when we go through really hard times. How many people do you know, and you might be one of them, who's gone through a difficult time, and in that difficult time, you have encountered God more profoundly than in all the easy times put together? Where you've gone through a really hard situation, and you've noticed, and you've understood, you've encountered and experienced God's closeness in a way that you haven't in other circumstances. Now, those are 5 pretty common ways. Sound familiar to those of you who are here? Right? It's a fairly standard stuff. But that stuff often takes us by surprise. It's not planned, right? I mean, no one plans to have a hard time to grow in their faith, right? You know, and what I could really deal with right now is a health crisis. That would really help my faith. Like that's not how people generally go about doing things, right? It's hard to manufacture those spiritual relationships. I mean, you kind of hope that when push comes to shove, you'll have people who speak into your life, but that's who knows what's going to happen. I mean, some mornings when you're reading the Bible, I mean, yeah, God speaks to you, but there are other times when, oh man, it's just, I'm reading the Bible because I'm reading the Bible. I'm praying because I'm praying, but I'm not encountering God in that space. There are times when you haven't had a new challenge for a while, and it's hard to manufacture a new challenge. You follow me on this one. And so our growth as followers of Jesus tends to be kind of in fits and starts and not particularly well planned. And so here's what I'd like to suggest for all of us to do in order to be more whole life learners in relationship to Jesus. Here's 2 steps. First of all, I want you to think in your mind about one thing that you would like to learn about God, or something that you'd like to experience of Him. You see, because here's the problem with following Jesus. There's so much. Right? There's so much to learn, there's so much to know, there's so much to experience that we sometimes, I think, get a little bit paralyzed by it or just kind of assume it'll just kind of happen as it goes. We need a learning outcome in our life. right? We need to identify, this is something that I want to learn. I've just turned all the teachers off. They're like, oh, paperwork. No, no paperwork, just a learning outcome. What's something that you want to learn? Do you want to learn how to pray with more variety and with more power? Do you want to know how to kind of effectively share your faith with someone who doesn't have faith? Is there a section of scripture that you want to try to figure out because you've never kind of been able to get your head around it? Is there a particular virtue of Jesus' life that you want to see and experience in your life? You want to be patient like Jesus is. You want to be kind like Jesus is. Is there a habit in your life that you really want to experience God's uprooting and where he just drags that thing out of your life? Is there an area of your life where you want to learn about God? Can you pick it? If you can't find something right now, can I encourage you during this week to make that on your prayer list. Put it on your prayer list. Pray that God would show you one area. Maybe he's got something he wants to teach you. Maybe he's got something that he wants you to learn about himself or to experience about himself. But let's find that one thing. And then here's the second part. Before I get to it, let me kind of give you this little, you've heard this adage before perhaps. The best way to learn something is actually to teach it. Have any of you experienced the power of teaching somebody else for learning? It is remarkable. It's kind of a silly example, but it happened to me years ago. It was like I think I was driving the youth to a skating event because that's the only thing that I would be interested in going to anymore as to drive. But we went skating, and like I'm from Canada. I'm not a great skater in Canada, but here I'm amazing. Right? Like, not in Canada. They can't be like, oh, don't, please don't join my hockey team. But here, and so at one point, I was skating backwards or whatever, and somebody stopped me and said, can you show me how to do that? I'm like, yeah, sure. And then I thought about it for a minute. I'm like, I don't know how you do that. You just do it, right? So I actually had to break it down a little bit and kind of go, how do you skate backwards? And started to kind of pay attention to what I was doing and then was able to kind of at least help them fall over backwards rather than what they were doing beforehand, right? And this is kind of a silly example. When I've been teaching, when I've had the opportunity to go out with the girls and teach them how to drive, that's another great example of having to learn what I do. When I first started teaching preaching at Moreland College, I'd been preaching for 10 or 15 years. Like, should have known a thing or two about it. But boy, oh boy, oh boy, the first couple of years of teaching other people to preach, that's just a whole other kettle of fish. All of a sudden, I had asked questions about, like, why do I do what I do? And is that actually helpful? Why is this important for them to learn? How do I teach this? I have no idea if the students learned anything in the first couple of semesters, but I was learning buckets of stuff. If the best way to learn something is to teach it, then we need to take that one thing that we want to learn and we need to figure out how to teach. Here's where it gets tricky, doesn't it? It's a little bit awkward if I come up to you after the service and say, hey, there's something I need to teach you. Sounds a little bit arrogant, don't you think? So here's how we're going to do it. We're going to do it a little bit differently. I want you to identify that one thing. That thing, that area where you go, yeah, that's what I want to learn. That's what I want to grow in. That's where I want to see some change in my life. Then I want you to identify someone who you think might know something about it and go up to them and say, hey, I'm interested in learning about praying with more variety and passion. You strike me as someone who knows a thing or two about it. Do you? And if they say yes, say, can I buy you a cup of coffee? And would you be willing to share with me what you've learned about prayer? And maybe that'll turn into a couple of conversations. Maybe that'll turn into several conversations over several months where you can actually talk and share about what you're both learning in that space. And for those of you who are panicking, thinking, oh no, someone's going to ask me if I know anything about faith, and my answer is probably going to be no, let me push back on that. Let me push back on that. Again, when I stepped into the role of senior pastor here, I'd been on staff at Gamia for 18 years. I'd spent all 18 years working with Carl Faze, who had led the church through that entire period of time. And one of the questions that I had when I stepped into the role was, can I actually do this? And I don't think anyone kind of said this to me verbally, but I had that internal conversation with myself, and it went something like this. You have been working with Carl for 18 years. Have you learned absolutely nothing? Have you not paid attention to anything for two decades of your life? The answer was, well, I may not have been intentionally planning to become the senior pastor, but you know, now I come to think of it, I've actually learned quite a bit from working with him. I reckon I've learned a lot, actually. I reckon I've learned enough to at least step into this role. You probably know a little bit more than you think you do. Now, some of what you might say if someone comes to you and says, hey, I'd really like to learn how to read the Bible a little bit differently. Do you know anything about that? You might be able to say, listen, I can tell you five things not to do. You might be able to say, listen, I certainly don't know everything, but I know a little bit about it. Share what you know. Share what you know. Whether you've been following Jesus for a few weeks or a few months or a few years. And for some of you here, you've been following Jesus for a long time. 15, 20, 25, 30, 40 years. If you have not learned anything that you can share after 40 years of following Jesus, what have you been doing? You should have something to share, regardless of how long you've been following Jesus. And imagine what it would do to our community of faith if all of us identified one area where we wanted to see God do something different in our life, one area where we wanted to learn and grow, one area we thought, you know what, if I could experience God in this way or I grow in this area, it would really change my life. And all of us approached somebody else in our community of faith and said, could you share with me what you know about that? What would that do for us? I think it would increase our knowledge because there's a whole lot of knowledge in this room, isn't there? It would increase our humility as we were able to say to one another, well, I don't know as much as I probably should, but what I've learned, I can tell you. More than happy to have a cup of coffee if you're buying, and I'll share with you what I know. I'll share with you the mistakes I've made, and I'll talk about what I've learned, and I'll point you in the direction of a book, or maybe someone else that I know in the church who might be even more helpful for you. Imagine what that would do to our community of faith. So there's your challenge. Find something where you want to grow, something you want to learn about God, about Jesus, about the Word, about faith, whatever it is, and then find somebody and say, hey, what do you know about this? I'm going to buy you a cup of coffee, and would you share what you know? Clear enough? But let us be those who are whole life learners, willing to learn and grow in every area of our life for our whole lives, in order that we might be best prepared to participate with the plans and purposes of God to restore the world in Christ Jesus through the enabling presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Let me pray for us, and Jodes and Mark can come up and lead us before we get to the end of our service. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that when you invite us to participate with you, we're invited into a grand adventure where we will always, 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 always be learning. And I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would fill us with a deep curiosity, that you would fill us with a deep and profound humility, that would encourage one another to ask the questions, to ask for help, to learn together. And that as we do, that you would do something really amazing in our community of faith, that each one of us would learn and grow and deepen in our faith of you, in our faith with you, in our understanding of your purposes and plans in our lives, and that that would translate into every aspect of our lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
What do you wish to learn or experience about God? Who are you going to approach to learn from? And what have you learned or experienced of God that you can share with others? These are the critical questions that every follower of Jesus should be asking as we seek to be whole life learners. If this has been helpful to you, we'd appreciate it if you'd leave us a rating and a review. And if there's someone that you know who really needs to hear this message, why not share it with them and see what God does through that? Remember, you can follow us on Facebook or visit our website at guymeabaptist.org.au. God bless.